Our first scripture reading today comes from Matthew chapter 5, verses 43 to 48. Love for your enemies. You have heard that it was said, "You shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy." But I say to you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, so that you may be children of your Father in heaven. For he makes his sun rise on the evil and on the good, and sends rain on the righteous and on the unrighteous. For if you love those who love you, what reward do you have? Do not even the tax collectors do the same? And if you greet only your brothers and sisters, what more are you doing than others? Do not even the Gentiles do the same? Be perfect, therefore, as your heavenly Father is perfect. Our second scripture reading today is from Acts chapter 15, verses 1 through 6. The council at Jerusalem, then certain individuals came down from Judea and were teaching the brothers. Unless you are circumcised according to the custom of Moses, you cannot be saved. And after Paul and Barnabas had no small dissension and debate with them, Paul and Barnabas and some of the others were appointed to go up to Jerusalem to discuss this question with the apostles and the elders. So they were sent on their way by the church, and as they passed through both Phoenicia and Samaria, they reported the conversion of the Gentiles and brought great joy to all the believers. When they came to Jerusalem, they were welcomed by the church and the apostles and the elders, and they reported all that God had done with them. But some believers who belonged to the sect of the Pharisees stood up and said, "It is necessary for them to be circumcised and ordered to keep the law of Moses." The apostles and the elders met together to consider this matter.
I think it was on The Daily Show that I heard singer John Legend tell about the documentary film he developed. I haven't seen the film, but I sure like the title, "What Changes and What Remains?" That's an important question, especially in any time of transition. Every institution, every organization, every company, every nation, every community, every church, every family, every couple, every individual going through transition needs to ask and find a response to what changes, what remains. I believe there's some guidance for us to be found in our scripture this morning. It's the 15th chapter of the book of Acts. It's often called the Jerusalem Council. And it's actually quite probably the most important crossroads of Western civilization and certainly of religion. And it offers guidance for us in our times of transition. The issue of Acts 15, the Jerusalem Council, is that the church was expanding out of Jerusalem into the Greco-Roman world. And in all of those places, there were synagogues, and the Christians, all of them Jewish, who went out to proclaim the good news of Jesus, did it in synagogues and places of Jewish religion and culture. But there were some within the Jewish Christian community who had a bigger vision that they believed God was bringing, that this good news of God's love and grace given to us in Jesus is not just for one cultural or religious group, but it's for the whole world. And so they were beginning to bring that radical news to the Christians, all of them Jewish at this point, who were gathering in various places of the Mediterranean world. And so let me pick it up in the book of Acts, chapter 15, actually beginning two verses before. When Paul and Barnabas had arrived in Antioch and related all that God had done with them and how he had opened the door of faith for Gentiles, that is, non-Jewish people, they then stayed with the disciples in Antioch for some time. But certain individuals, and these would be Christian out of the Jewish tradition, came down from Judea, from Jerusalem, where the first Christians had gathered, and said, "Brothers, unless you are circumcised according to the law and custom of Moses, you cannot be a Christian." And then it says, "And after Paul and Barnabas had no small dissension and debate with them," and that's maybe covering days, "then Paul and Barnabas and some of the others were appointed to go up to Jerusalem and to discuss this question with the apostles and elders. What do you think of this, of bringing the good news of Jesus to people beyond our particular religion and culture?" So they were sent on their way by the church in Antioch, and as they passed through Phoenicia and Samaria, they reported the conversion of the Gentiles, non-Jews. Ethnos is the Greek word for this. "But some believers who belonged to the sect of the Pharisees," they were Jewish Christians of the Pharisee party, "said, 'Oh, it's necessary for all of them," the men I assumed he meant, "to be circumcised, and ordered all of them to keep the full law of Moses.'" So in Jerusalem, the apostles and elders met together to consider this matter. After there had been much debate, it was Peter who stood up and said to them, "My brothers, you know that in the early days God made a choice among you that I should be the one through whom the Gentiles would hear the message of the good news and become believers." And he goes on to tell them of his understanding now that God is calling this good news into a wider world. "The whole assembly kept silence and listened to Peter and Barnabas and Paul, and they told of all the signs and wonders that God had done with them among the Gentiles. After they finished speaking, James, who was like the chairman of the board there, said, 'My brothers and sisters, listen to me. Peter has related how God looked favorably upon the Gentiles, and they have received the message. And therefore, we are going to reach the conclusion that we should not trouble the Gentiles who are turning to God.'" Yeah, that would have been trouble. "But we should write to them only this: to abstain from things polluted by idols, from fornication, and from whatever has been strangled and bloody. For in every city, for every generation, there are always going to be people of our Jewish heritage." And then the apostles and the elders, with the consent of the whole church in Jerusalem, decided to choose from among them people to send to Antioch to bring them the good news. Now, what's happening here is there's this radical new idea that God's love shown in Jesus is going to be for everyone, and it's going to be in gracious freedom. And it offers, as they have gone through this, some tips for us when we're going through transitions. The first thing we learn from this passage: when in transition, listen. In verse 6, we read, "The apostles and elders met together to consider this matter, and after there had been much debate." And again, that's one of those phrases that probably contains hours, if not days, in it, of the debate that involved speaking and involved listening. In verse 12, we read, "The whole assembly kept silent and listened to Barnabas and Paul as they told them about what God had done with the Gentile peoples." And then in verse 22, we read, "The disciples and elders, with the consent of the whole church," which means they had to listen to everyone, chose people to go to Antioch to bring this good news. Now, some people are better listeners than others. When in transition, listen, I heard that some families are concerned that Alexis may be listening to their conversations. And in response to this, that Amazon's going to come out with a male version, and he won't listen to anybody. But some listen well, men and women, some not so well. So we have to be intentional and practice listening. In fact, I want to say we should engage in transitional times of inactive listening. Active listening means that before I respond to what you've said to me, I must first repeat to your satisfaction what you think I have said. So you say something to me, I say in active listening what I believe you said to me, and only when you say yes, that's what I meant to say, do I bring my response to that. This can be for two individuals and a couple, this can be two groups in a family or a church or a business. Active listening means I don't respond to what you said until I can successfully say to your satisfaction what I believe you have said. And that slows things down. It makes sure that we're really listening and understanding what a person is saying. When in transition, practice listening. Secondly, this passage gives us a principle to follow. When it says in transition, practice inclusion. In the often heated times of transition, it's easy to break into opposing groups, them versus us, our way or the highway. But a successful transition calls for courtesy, consideration, compromise, and inclusion. In Acts 15, the divisive issue was table fellowship, because all the Christians now, their central worship was coming together around a meal. And that meant, of course, sitting together at the table. Jewish Christians had long had a list of regulations and observations, not only of what they could eat and not eat, but how they dress, what they practice, how they involve themselves in life. And the Gentile Christians who were coming into the church, non-Jewish people, and their supporters, like Paul and Peter, who were Jewish Christians, but very much for bringing in the Gentiles without all these obligations, this side were saying, no, we are set free in Christ. We will not submit again to any yoke of bondage, as said in the book of Galatians. And so at this impasse of those who said, no, they've got to still hold to our great traditions of Judaism before they can take on Jesus, versus those who said, why should we lay that burden on them when we haven't been able to do it very well ourselves? And we know clearly from the scriptures, God comes to us now in grace and in freedom. And so they came up with a solution. A compromise, verses 19 and 20. Therefore, we have reached the decision that we should not trouble those Gentiles who are turning to God, but we should write to them only this: abstain from things polluted by idols and from fornication and from whatever is strangled and bloody. Now, this had to do with courtesy. If you are a Gentile person eating a very rare piece of meat from a Greek temple's sacrifice and ritual fertility rites that surrounded often those Greek temple rites, then it's going to turn the stomach of the Jewish person that's next to that Gentile person, both Christians, and it just is too much to ask of them, says the council. So, yes, we will not put on you any other burdens. You men will not have to be circumcised. You will not have to keep all the rules of Jewish tradition. But just this, kibosh on blood. Let's not get our meat that we have at the table fellowship from the Greek temples where there are fertility rituals of fornication and where there is meat and blood actually drunken. So to the question, can't we just get along? Thankfully, the early church came up with a way to do that was inclusive. It reminds me of something I still recall from a high school essay that used the quotation from Edwin Markham. He drew a circle that cut me out, called me a heretic, a thing to flout, but wit and love had the will to win. So I drew a circle that took him in. In times of transition, it's wise, it's good to have inclusion and compromise. Third, when in transition, make this distinction. The distinction between a value and a form that expresses that value. In the whole matter of what changes and what remains, it's important to distinguish between values in capital letters, meaning the great truths and verities that have been part of pretty much every culture and every era through history and is part and deep within our society, those great values. Forms in lowercase are the things that in a given culture, in a given time, express those values as best they can. And what's important to remember is that we want to preserve not always the forms, but the values behind them and find new forms for our time and our people that express that eternal value. I remember, if you could picture a young family, a husband and a wife and a newborn approaching Christmas, their first Christmas together. And they had memories of wonderful Christmases, each one of them at their parents' home where they grew up and at their grandparents' home and all those times together of meeting and greeting one another and feasting on Christmas Day. And so they set out in the morning first and had their own little Christmas time there. Then they went to her parents' house and had Christmas there. Then they went to his parents' house and had Christmas there. And then because they wanted to keep that tradition going, that form going of what they had always enjoyed, of the value of a wonderful Christian day, they went to his grandparents' place and his other grandparents' place and her other grandparents' place and other grandparents' place. And if there are any divorces and divided families, it multiplied out even more. And the result was a very confused, tiring, and uninspiring Christmas day, because they wanted to keep the form, but that form actually denied the value of a wonderful, peaceful, joyous day. So we find forms that fulfill our values. And this is true if you think about uplifting music, from Gregorian chant to Isaac Watt hymns to gospel songs to reading them in a hymnal to seeing them on a screen to having them accompanied by organ or piano or guitars and drums. The form changes, but the goal is always to uplift the value of good music in church. This is true for cutting-edge companies. How do we find a form if we need a new one? And let's look at the forms so that our company's on the cutting edge. It's important in our law enforcement institutions and in our educational institutions. I remember once when we were heading up Highway 395, Marty and I had been into the Sierras, as I said, many times and enjoyed these 10,000 foot lakes and peaks along the way. But she never had, and I wanted her to experience this and see and feel what was so wondrous about it. And so she agreed, and we parked the car at the base of a peak and walked about a mile into the first lake of Virginia Lakes, and there was no one else around. We stopped, we looked at this blue, beautiful lake and the magnificent peaks around us, little bit of breeze in the trees, the scurry of a squirrel. And I took a deep breath and said, "You don't know how this renews my soul." And Marty looked at me right away and says, "Oh, Gary, I do know. I feel the same way when I walk into South Coast Plaza. And that's a reminder to me always that we have the same values, but we don't always have the same forms. When we bought a place in Tahoe, I wanted it way out in the away from civilization. She wanted it in a little in a town. So we compromised and got a house where I can walk 100 yards to the woods and she can drive a mile to Safeway. The Jerusalem Council was able to show the people of the church that the abiding deep value of God's love and grace coming into the world should lead them in this moment to forsake an old form where God's work is limited to one particular culture or religious group, and instead take on a new form for all the people coming to the table in faith. Roxanne's song that I love so much that she sung for us before, that gospel song, fits this perfectly. I can tell the world about this. I can tell the nations, the ethnos, the Gentiles, that they're blessed. Tell them that the gospel has come. Jesus understood values and form. In this passage this morning from Matthew, it is reflecting the Jewish people's concern to have a just and good community. And so in the book of Genesis, there's laid out the law of Lamech, which means 10 times revenge. If you hurt me, I'm entitled to 10 times revenge on you. And what happens, of course, is that comes back 10 times or more. It's infinite retribution, and society is torn apart. So in Leviticus 24, the Jewish people came to understand that God is calling them not to unlimited revenge, but for an eye, a tooth for a tooth. And that was a very progressive piece of legislation. You get an eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth, a person for a person, and that's it. No unending revenge. Jesus, though, takes that value even further and brings another form. You've heard it said, eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. I say there's a better way. When you're struck on your cheek, turn the other. When you're asked for a coat, give your cloak as well. If you're asked to go a mile, go 2 miles. Jesus said, I believe that that form will bring you better into a full and just society. When in transition, listen. When in transition, include. When in transition, distinguish between values and forms that express that value. And finally, when in transition, take action. Not action before listening and compromising and consideration of values and forms on the way to what changes and what remains. But once those processes have had their sway, had their day, there comes the time for action. In Acts 15, 22, it says, the apostles and the elders, with the consent of the whole church, decided to choose people to go proclaim the way, the new way, that it would no longer be a cultural sect, but the Jesus movement would be for all peoples everywhere. That good news of grace, freedom, and joy would be for all. And so they went forth and acted. So in your transitions, beloved, in your out of your conversations, your considerations, deliberations, conclusions, and resolutions, there comes the time to act, to leap, to set the sails, to give it the gas, to go for it. And as we travel the road of transition in this church, and for those following and the road of transition in the school systems and in policing and in electing and in sporting, as we travel the road of transition in our own families, as we seek to answer the question, what will change? What will remain? As we configure new forms of that will express the great values we've held, out of our listening, out of our including, out of our acting, overcoming any struggle and pain, buoyed by anticipation and excitement. Please, brothers and sisters, persist. Don't you get weary in well-doing. Don't you get weary, brothers and sisters. Keep on talking. Keep on walking. Keep on praising God who is before us, who is with us, who is blessing us. Amen.